Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Well, it's back. The annual Popcorn Frights Film Festival has returned, but this year it's in Fort Lauderdale. It's a collection of full-length feature films and shorts, international and locally produced horror thrillers, and this year there's even going to be dancing zombies. Yes, you heard me right, dancing zombies. I love it already. One of the films featured this year is The Horse and the Stag. That's a locally produced short by local Jonathan Cuartas. It's a chilling film with a subtext of bullying about a young man named Carson, and he's abducted by a woman, Edith, and is held captive in her home. Now, here's a clip from the short where Carson is pleading with his captor.
I don't know what's in there that's making you do this to me, but I'm a good person. Do you hear me? I'm a good person.
Well, joining us now is the writer and director of that film, Jonathan Cuartas. Jonathan, it's such a pleasure, man. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And the festival's co-founder and co-director, Igor Sterenberg. Igor, it's always a pleasure, man. Thank you.
Always a thrill.
Thank you so much. Igor, how do you describe this experience, the festival, to anyone who has not yet experienced Popcorn Frights?
It's the most fun you'll ever have being scared. I mean, truly, if you have a taste for terror, you have a date with Popcorn Frights.
But that's a good point, though. Do you have to have a taste for terror? Do you have to be a horror nerd?
No, you just have to be willing to be open for discovery. These are films from 15 different countries. We really did a global search for the very best that genre cinema has to offer. And they all work in an incredibly brilliant artistic merit. There's not a film in our lineup that isn't going to shock and awe you and also have some sort of intellectual, you know, gratification. There's not just gore in many of these films. There's layered subtext that you will be appreciating.
And I did mention earlier we are going to be talking about singing zombies. But why is it in Fort Lauderdale this year?
It's a bigger venue. But more importantly, many of you may not know, but Saver Cinema in the 1940s was a Methodist church. And to be able to raise Holy Hell in a former Methodist church was an opportunity we just couldn't pass. But more seriously, it just afforded us a bigger platform. You know, we had to turn away so many film lovers the last 3 years because we'd sell out in advance of the festival, and it just kind of really hurt our hearts. So we just knew that we needed to expand our footprint, and Saver affords us a much larger space, 240 seats.
Okay, so yeah, no, I was going to say that. How much bigger is it from before? So it's. I mean, you've expanded
more than twice the size. Yeah.
What was one of the highlights from last year?
Joe Lynch, the movie Mayhem, and we just completely rocked all of Wynwood with him. And the movie went on after winning our audience award to set a new record for a horror film for being streamed online. It really took over the entire horror world by storm.
So we're looking forward to some new highlights for this year. All right, so Jonathan, let me come back to you because you are one of the local filmmakers.
Yes.
And this is one of the interesting things too, Igor, is the fact that it's not just about bringing in big names and movies from around the world, but it's about putting a focus on local.
That's right. Building on last year, we launched this sidebar called Homegrown 100% Pure, fresh-squeezed Florida horror. And we realized that there is an incredible genre scene here in Miami with aspiring filmmakers that we needed to tap into. We needed to give them a platform to showcase their work. And it was to our surprise just how many of them were there and how great their films were. And we're so thrilled to just continue this particular sidebar and have Jonathan be a part of it.
Jonathan, you're from here.
Yes, born and raised.
Born and raised. You know what? You have one of the shorts this year, and we played a little piece of it earlier. But tell us a little bit about, I mean, how do you describe to folks The Horse and the Stag?
So as you said, the premise is it involves a young man's paranoia as he's held captive in a grieving mother's motorhome. So I kind of went with the subtext of bullying, and I wanted to play with emotion and empathy, which I like doing with horror. I like having a drama, a story that is essentially a drama, and wrapping it in the tropes of a horror film. And I wanted to explore bullying and see it from the eyes of the perpetrator and then flip the empathy.
Why is that issue important to you?
Well, I was bullied as a kid, and I see a lot of, I know the suicide rates are high with bullying, and I just think it's important to talk about it and be completely unflinching in the portrayal of the stuff that comes out that has to do with bullying, and show it as heavy as you can.
There, I wanted to play another clip. This one is, here's the scene again. Really, this, I mean, this film is these two characters, Carson and Edith. Edith, again, his captor. And this is a scene where Carson, again, is confronting Edith. Edith actually now is really, this is her response.
Nobody likes you. You think you're so smart. But none of our teachers like you. I bet your mother wishes she never had you.
I don't have a mother.
I bet they wish you were dead. I wish you were dead.
This is one of those, and I look, I'd be the first to say that, you know, I have told Igor this before too, is I'm a child of the 70s and 80s. So a lot of my, I remember a lot of my horror diet was the campy, you know, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street type of stuff. This is, you know, even for a short, I mean, this is really an uncomfortable thriller. It's claustrophobic, takes place in this really this one little space, and it's really dark. And I'm talking about the lighting in of itself. It's very dark. But I wanted to get a sense of what, you know, where you're coming from when you were putting this together. This was, by the way, filmed in Homestead.
Yes.
All of it.
Yes, all of it. Well, actually, the diner scene, a brief diner scene, was filmed in Miami Gardens, in Miami but the Garden. Rest was Homestead.
Why, by the way, why'd you pick that place? Why there?
Because, well, first of all, we found the location. It was on my friend. He's a fellow filmmaker as well. And it was on his property, an abandoned motorhome that was left there after Hurricane Irma. The owners had to move out because you just couldn't live there anymore. And the way it looks, if you think that looks bad, you should have seen it before we dressed it. It was leaking water. I could barely fit in there. It's just as claustrophobic filming it as it feels in the film.
Tell me a little bit about your process in writing when you're writing something like this. I mean, are you thinking in terms of camera angles, camera shots, or are you writing a story first?
I think it's story first, and I think that Miami and Homestead and all the neighborhoods around South Florida, they provide such a distinct canvas for these stories that I feel like the story almost writes itself. I start with something that relates to me personally. In this case, it was bullying, and then I wrap it in this claustrophobic motorhome, and I feel like the situation just builds itself.
What is a festival like the Popcorn Frights do for filmmakers like you? How does it help you? Because you, I mean, look, you've also had films in many other festivals as well.
Sure.
But locally, what does this, like, one like this do?
Well, I think that genre film is very important here in South Florida, and I think it's underlooked. So having a festival like Popcorn Frights that celebrates genre, I think it's extremely important, because it's nice to have genre films in Miami. You see a lot of films that, it kind of caters to the location and geography of Miami, Miami Beach. There's certain stories that are told here, which are great, but I feel like having a festival that embraces genre is really fun and really important.
You told me that, you know, you've sent out your stuff, your work, to so many different festivals, yeah, and, you know, you get a lot of rejections.
Yep.
What, I mean, how hard is it to get into festivals?
It's hard, and when you, as you progress making more and more films, you try to submit to higher tier festivals, so the rejections come in.
Igor, how many different filmmakers are sending you their stuff and like, hey, we want to be in your festival?
We had a record number of submissions this year. It nearly exceeded 1,000, and that's not counting films that we just saw ourselves at various festivals and solicited on our own. There's more and more films being made, and there's less and less channels for them to be seen and experienced. So to be able to have a platform that we host on our own, this is not my full-time job. I literally volunteer my hours to do this.
You also run the Jewish Film Festival as well. So you
absolutely. And to be able to showcase what I think are the very best international films from around the world with a focus on genre, is rewarding. It's incredibly rewarding and enriching.
How do you do it? How do you, you know, is it a panel of people? How do you go through that 1,000 entries to pick those few dozen that you're going to be...
We have a committed group of volunteers that we call the Midnight Society. To those of you who grew up with Nickelodeon and Are You Afraid of the Dark, you're familiar with that. We all look at the films. We all relate to them. We have vicious arguments about which films we really love more than others. And it's the films that have the biggest staying power, that gnawed us the most, that we are obsessed over and keep on going over and over again weeks and months after, are the ones we feel are most committed to showing at our festival. Ultimately, we only have so many slots. We can only show so many titles. We run only for a week, and we have only one venue. So there's the definite limitations of what we can achieve.
We're talking about the 2018 Popcorn Frights Film Festival. This year it's in Fort Lauderdale. There are dozens of movies on the lineup. We're talking with the co-founder and co-director Igor Sterenberg and writer-director of one of those films in this year's festival, Jonathan Cuartas. The festival, again, starts on Friday. We have more information up on our Facebook page. Just look up, look us up on social media, WLRN Sundial. Jonathan, you said something interesting earlier. You talk about location, finding the right locales and where people want to go and film, but what is it specifically about Miami that, you know, South Florida, that lends itself, that gives itself, you know, the opportunity to be a great place to tell stories?
Well, first of all, the people and the geography is, I think you can't get more diverse. And I talked to one of my good friends about this, and he's also a filmmaker and a festival programmer, and he said that the fish to pond ratio is very important. So
fish to pond ratio.
Yes.
Okay.
So you could go to LA, which is the film mecca, essentially. But if you make a short film over there, everyone else is making short films too. If you make a short film here, more of a chance that you stand out, especially if you make a genre short film.
So Miami's a good place to get started then.
Yeah. I started here. I went to school here for film. I met so many wonderful people, and we're all friends and filmmakers.
And this question's for both of you. Jonathan, let me start with you, but I wanted to get a sense of, you know, do we have the infrastructure here, you know, to build that homegrown talent? Do we have the universities have the programs? Do we have the talent already? I'm not talking about actors, because you can find actors everywhere. Yeah. I'm talking about, you know, do you have those skill sets, the skilled workers that are behind the scenes? Is everything here to start building up our own film industry?
100%. As working on 4 short films, the crews that I've been able to work with, I've been blessed to have them and to work with them. And I've worked on other films, on other positions, production assistant, camera, whatever the case may be. The people here are always nice, and they're always very experienced.
And Igor, yeah, I mean, he's talking about that fish to pond ratio. I haven't heard that before, but I mean, is this the place people think start a career here again, instead of going to LA or something like that?
We've continued to be surprised by the quality of work being made here in Miami. And it's so distinct. It has such a different flavor than all the other films that we receive viewings of from around the world. I absolutely feel that Miami is going through an incredible, very flourishing production scene. And my hopes are it just will continue to take off. When we talk about short films, hopefully in a year or two or three, we're going to be talking about feature-length films.
You know what? There was a great little video, by the way, that I found online, Jonathan, of you and your brother. And yes. It was, I guess you guys were raising money for your project.
Yep.
So this is, I mean, I guess this is the way that it works now, is you're pitching yourself out there to the world, to people. Traditionally, where do you go to try to get money for your project?
Well, since I've worked with moderately low budgets for shorts, I usually self-fund it. I pay it out of my own pocket, or my brother pays. He's a co-producer, cinematographer, and we always share the expenses. But for this, we wanted to do something a little more ambitious. So we went to a crowdfunding platform called Indiegogo, where we reached out to film communities, our families, our friends, and that's how we raised the funds for this.
So then, yeah, the investors, they buy the rights to this? Do they get, is this an investment they're getting money back later? Or is it just that they see a young guy like you and they're like, maybe this is the future. We're going to try to help build him up.
So, yeah, we did the video that you saw was just a pitch video. So in that particular website, that platform, you offer perks. So let's say someone gives $5, you give them something in return.
All right, tell them about what are the perks, by the way, because I watched the video.
Yeah.
And one of the perks you offer is something your dad does.
Yes, art.
your dad's an artist and he's going to offer a certain number of paintings. Yes. Okay. Whatever it takes, right? That's how we get
art
going.
Art for art, right?
There you go. Igor, you know what? I wondered, too, when you talk about money, the money in the business and the investors, do they see Miami as this is a place we need to plant ourselves for future talent, or are we not there yet?
5 years ago, they didn't. 3 years ago, we were just partially on the radar. Today, they look at Miami as a new vehicle to promote their genre films. We get contacted by major studios constantly with regards to opportunities to host their events and promote them, and even to consider their movies for our festival. We are hopeful that this is just the beginning of a long and exciting process, that Miami is going to be on the genre map just like Austin and Toronto and Montreal and LA are.
All right, let's get back to horror. And let's talk about this festival real quickly. You said you've got a couple dozen different movies that you're going to be featuring.
Two dozen.
And they're all in the same venue.
Right.
So tell me about a couple of them that you really are excited about. I mean, I know you're excited about all of them. You're like a dad. You love them
right.
all.
Right. Anne and the Apocalypse is a film that really is a home run. For those that love musicals and even TV comedies like Glee, and those that grew up with Shaun of the Dead, this is the perfect coupling that you can't miss. And accompanying this feature premiere, we're going to have a live musical performance from Infinite Abyss Productions. They're a local theater troupe. They're going to be dressed as zombies singing and dancing. And we're also going to have, on top of all of that, the director John McPhail, all the way from United Kingdom, flying down here to host the premiere. Anna, how could you miss that?
Anna and the Apocalypse.
How can you miss that?
Singing and zombies. I'm in, dude.
And we're going to have Triple Bill of Fear on our opening night. And closing the night, we're going to have Puppet Master, The Littlest Reich, which is possibly the wildest genre film that you'll see this year, maybe in the decade. And remarkably, and beyond even our wildest dreams, we are going to have the composer Fabio Prisi in attendance. Fabio is a legendary composer. If you grew up with genre film from the 70s and 80s, he composed many of those beloved horror films. And it was a shock to us to know that he was going to be in town for the festival. How could he miss that?
Part of my childhood.
That's right. And then we have an Indonesian film, believe it or not, an Indonesian film called Satan's Slaves. And it's the creepiest, spookiest, eeriest, most chillingest film that's going to get under your skin and really make you stay up all night for all the bumps that you're going to hear. It is absolutely ferocious, and you have to see it to believe it. Another film is, I can't believe we even had the great privilege to announce this, but we have Blumhouse's New Nightmare. Blumhouse, the production studio behind Get Out, then the new Glass film, and Split, and we have the new film called Boogeyman Pop. It's a fever dream of a film that I encourage everyone to give a chance to take a look at before it becomes a big mainstream success like most of Blumhouse's movies.
And this the festival begins on Friday with three movies, and it runs through
August 16th.
All right, and again, tell everybody where it's at.
Saber Cinema,
which I love the fact, as you said, it used to be a church.
Right.
You're enjoying this way too much, is what I'm saying.
We have to. We do it all for the love of horror.
Again, it is the 2018 Popcorn Frights Film Festival. As he said, it's in Fort Lauderdale. Starts on Friday, and it's an amazing lineup. He gave us a little piece of that. Again, he is the co-founder, co-director, Igor Sterenberg. We also heard from writer-director of one of the films in the festival this year, Jonathan Cuartas. He is a local. It is a locally grown, local film, and an interesting, fascinating, by the way, short. As we pointed out, as I played a couple of pieces from it, we watched it this morning, and this is a great way to start
the
day.
Thank you.
But as always, this is just so much fun. Igor, a pleasure, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Have a scary, scary time, Jonathan. I appreciate it.
Thank you.